Well, greetings. Today is January 27th, 2026, and I'm going to do a audio track for the devotional today. Especially, I want to talk about Paul the Apostle and some of the struggles he faced in his work when trying to develop a church body in the pagan city of Corinth. Corinth was probably the most important city in Greece during Paul's day, according to the Thomas Nelson's Publications Study Bible. And I'm going to comment from some of its introduction to the book of 1 Corinthians. It was a bustling hub of worldwide commerce, degraded culture, and idolatrous religion. There Paul founded a church, as noted in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 17, and two of his letters are addressed to the church of God, which is at Corinth. 1 Corinthians reveals the problems. Paul addresses a variety of problems in the lifestyle of the Corinthian church: factions, lawsuits, immorality, questionable practices, etc., etc., etc. In addition to words of Paul shares words of counsel in answer to questions raised by the Corinthian believers. Corinth was a key city in ancient Greece until it was destroyed by the Romans in 146 BC. Julius Caesar rebuilt it as a Roman colony in 46 BC, and it grew and prospered, becoming the capital of the province of Achaia. Its official language was Latin, but the common language remained Greek. In Paul's day, Corinth was a metropolis of the Peloponnese, since it was strategically located on a narrow isthmus between the Aegean Sea and the Adriatic Sea that connects the Peloponnese with northern Greece. Because of its two seaports, it became a commercial city, and many small ships were rolled over or dragged across the Corinthian Isthmus to avoid the dangerous 200-mile voyage around southern Greece. Nero and others attempted to build a canal in the narrowest point, but this was not achieved until 1893. The city was filled with shrines and temples, but the most prominent was the Temple of Aphrodite on the top of an 1,800-foot promontory called the Arco Corinthus. Worshippers of the goddess of love made free use of the 1,000 hagiadelia prostitutes. This cosmopolitan center thrived in commerce, entertainment, vice, and corruption. Pleasure seekers came there to spend money on a holiday from morality. Corinth became so notorious for its evils that the term Corinthiozina, which to act like a Corinthian, became a synonym for debauchery and prostitution. In Paul's day, the population of Corinth was approximately 700,000, about two-thirds of whom were slaves. The diverse population produced no philosophers, but Greek philosophy influenced and speculative thought was there. In spite of these obstacles to the gospel, Paul was able to establish a church in Corinth on his second missionary journey. Persecution in Macedonia drove him south to Athens, and from there he proceeded to Corinth. Now, with some of this background here, and there's much more, I want to point out a couple things that are important in my way of thinking. First of all, to me, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. What has been will be, and what is already has been. In other words, probably nothing has changed, and especially I consider the nature of humanity, for the most part, wherever we are in the world, except for some of our skin color appearances and our cultural differences. We really, as long as we consider humanity, we really haven't changed that much within our thinking and what our pursuits are and our interests are, unless we're being overrun by some kind of plague or pandemic or war. When people are living in a general sense of peace and tranquility, they normally are pretty much the same, have the same concerns, the same cares, and the same interest, and tragically the same sins and debauchery in their society. Now, concerning our world today, I think today we're just as pagan as Paul's society. When you start studying what's wrong with our morality and our culture and some of our hedonistic pursuits and our indifference to God's commandments and His teachings to us and how we have just tossed those things aside and gone on autopilot into our own ways, if you're honest, you won't really see that much difference between the idolatry of Paul's day and the idolatry of our world today. There are just some slight differences in descriptions of what we consider idolatry. Now, for this particular lesson today, I'm focusing on the importance of the Word of God. I have included a link to an article from Lighthouse Trails that speaks to re-imaging God for our purpose. I hope you will read it because it's an excellent writing. But anyway, with regard to today's devotional, I want us to consider what is going on in the very definition of what it means to understand and live according to the Word of God, not according to church doctrine, but according to the doctrine of Christ, which is the central figure of all church foundation. And the doctrine of Christ basically is the doctrine of the Word of God. And the Word of God is forever established. And when Messiah Yeshua came, the one most of us know as Jesus, He came in spite of our sins and our transgressions, and while we were yet sinners, He came for us. And thankfully, those who embrace Him and the redemptive power of His blood have been birthed into new creations and have life eternal through the work He did for us at Calvary. Let us look at some of these things and how they were taught then as the doctrine of Christ and how they really should be taught today as the doctrine of Christ. For there surely is no other name among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. So I hope you will study this devotional with caution concerning what it's really saying and how a parallel exists between what Paul experienced in his day and what we live in our day today. Blessings to you and shalom.